I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Seem to be getting quite a boom again here out. The Lord has prompted me to read this to you. There may be people who are suffering not only a physical trial, but some type of a trial of faith today. And I don't know who all of you might be, but I know that the Lord prompted me to read this portion of Scripture to you. There may be a tremendous pressure, a strain upon you. And the message that I bring just a little later in your potential in God, if you did not realize and feel and hear the voice of God lifting you, you could possibly feel that this was a hollow mockery of you and an echo of misery because of the condition that may surround your life will be pressing upon you. So I just felt constrained to the Lord to share this little portion of Scripture. Your trials, your problems, are not an indication of whether God loves you or not. For you can love the Lord and be right in the middle of His will and still have some problems. But the Word tells us, don't be surprised concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. I realize there are people that would challenge that statement, but I didn't make it. It's in the Word. God made it. He's going to back it up. There are some trials that come, not because of disciplinary reasons, but there are things that come our way that God brings glory to Himself through. Lives that are touched. There's a scent of perfume that fills the room through the crushing of the rose that would never come otherwise. And so I'm going to read this portion of Scripture. I trust that God will make it real to your heart. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Notice this. He's pointing ahead. It's something reserved for you. And this is your reason for great rejoicing. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I literally felt the weight today of some people that are in heaviness here through a trial. Probably not one trial, but manifold trials. And I thank God that He has given my spirit this sensitivity. I can sense it. And I'm God is going to minister to you right now by His Spirit while we're reading. You're in heaviness. But He said, look up. There's something reserved for you. Hallelujah. Something very special. It's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and it fades not away. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That may not be very far off. The appearing is going to be a tremendous revelation of what has happened. Found unto praise, honor, and glory when Jesus comes. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Then another little portion of Scripture. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, but it's good in any translation. This precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in a perishable container, that is, in our weak bodies. Everyone can see that the glorious power within must be from God and is not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles. Can it be? It happens. But not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. These bodies of ours are constantly facing death, just as Jesus did. So it is clear to all that it is only the living Christ within who keeps us safe. Yes, we are under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord, but this gives us constant opportunities to show forth the power of Jesus Christ within our dying bodies. Because of our preaching, we face death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. We boldly say what we believe, pressing God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe and therefore I speak. We know that the same God who brought back the Lord Jesus from death will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us to him along with you. These sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great kindness, and the more the Lord is glorified. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now. Good suggestion, folks. Don't look at what you can see right now. The troubles all around us. But we look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. And in your Bible, you read that these light afflictions, there they become servants for us, working for us over on the other side. Hallelujah. While that tooth is hurting, you've got, or you don't look at the tooth, look beyond it. Something is working for you on the other side. Oh, I think they're real. Small thing like a tooth. You've got something big bothering you. You've got a lot of big things working for you over there. A far greater, exceeding weight of glory being worked for you the other side. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever gotten quite so far from the message I've ever preached to you. But did it have meaning to someone? If this meant something to you, and you're glad that I did read this portion of Scripture, I want you to say a big, loud amen. Ah, now I'm glad I read it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That means I'm not going to be able to give you the introduction to my message. I just have to wade right into down toward the bottom line of it. I had an experience last Friday. Speaking of angels, every time I have an experience, I think, this is the greatest. It can be no greater than this. But each time, I almost forget the time before because of the awe and the stimulation, the truths that just seem to penetrate and become so real, and the additional truths, Bible verses that just fastened themselves upon my mind and my heart so that I could never, never forget them. One of the portions of Scripture that the angel referred to and brought to me from the Lord was the 54th chapter of Isaiah, a verse that the Lord gave to me one time when I was standing here without realizing it came by inspiration, without the word being open. And it came complete with the reference. I think some of you will remember that. But this is something very special to God, and it's a message that he wanted us to hear. This was a little part of what he talked about. So I'm going to read this portion of Scripture as a little springboard into a couple of other truths that I promised to give you. Isaiah 54 and verse 6. I might say here the direction of these words was toward Israel. But the same truth and the same love is toward all of us. Because when God spoke and gave a promise to people, he may have had an immediate target and those that he was directing it to. But when it comes from his heart, he is merely telling us what he is really like and how he feels about people everywhere. And here he tells us, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God." A real God calling at a time of real mental turmoil and conflict. And he likened it to the torments. And some of you know the torment of the rejection and the breaking up of a lasting relationship and how it tears your heart out. So the Lord said he called us from a place of great anguish. Then he goes on to say, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee." God, how could it be? But he did. "But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Then he goes on to say that the great rainbow in the sky, God's reminder to himself and to the world that he would keep his promise. He said, when you see that rainbow, you can not only remember that there's not going to be a flood, but you can remember something else. You can remember that the work that Jesus has done is complete. It's finished. And I will not be wroth with you anymore. We read it here. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, as for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is all just a beautiful truth. But I'd like to drop down to verse 16. God is speaking still, and he said, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals and the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. God here is telling us the fact that he himself has drawn into the blueprints of our lives the desires, the channels, the drive is within. God himself has drawn those right into the blueprints of our lives. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read one verse from Psalms 139, Living Bible here. He's speaking. I'll read from verse 13, a couple of verses. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. What he's telling us here, he said he saw all of our members, the inner parts of our body, the planning. When Gabriel was speaking to me about this, he said that David gave a verse in Psalms 87 and verse 7, where he is speaking about how beautiful Jerusalem was. And he said, all of our springs, the springs within us of life, are in you, Jerusalem. But Gabriel said of the believer that all of the life forces within us spring from God. Hallelujah. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it sure means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. Those peculiar characteristics. You remember many times I've told you about God allowing me to see in the archives of heaven his plan book for each life. This was so awesome. It was staggering. I could hardly look on it. This was during that visit to the throne room. And I have been awed at this. I shared it with a lot of people that the path, those things that happen, they're ordered, they're laid out in plan. But it was only Friday that I realized a little more fully that in God's planning, it was not only the events that would transpire in a person's life, in the path of life. But his planning included those little peculiarities with us that make us us. God wrote into the person's life, like this Al Marsden here, when he was a little boy. I haven't talked to his mother about this, but I imagine it was so, that he drew little lines on paper. His teachers at school, when they got the papers that turned in, they would see little lines and going every which way, and designs made with a pencil and so on. Did that ever happen, Al? I venture to say there were plenty of them. And I wouldn't be surprised if that Chris there does that once in a while, too. Right, Chris? Yeah, he's shaking his head. And a lot of you, the rest of you, probably have done that. There were things that of interest that God had put there, springs of life. You see, I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry Teal there may have had some 40-story buildings drawn on some of his papers that he turned in when he was in the second grade. He's an architect now, you see. And those springs had their beginning way back. God wrote those things within us. Now, the reason this message that he brought to me was so exciting, it put everybody in this congregation, in fact, everybody that God has created, it put them all on an equal plane before God. Each with a little different design in their life. And the planning and the steps that go, each of them would fit, as God prodded and prompted, would fit a little different direction. And all of these things are so important. There are some I can almost hear some wheels saying, that sounds what is it, fatalism? Another word for that. To me, sounds like not much left for us to do. Oh, there's a whole lot to do. Whole lot to do. And that is linking arms with God and making and really moving with him and having some excitement and watching all the things. Because you don't know all those things that God has planned for you. But nevertheless, he has really laid out some beautiful, complete plans. I remember Ted when he was a little rascal. He never was very little, but I mean when he was smaller than he is now. He used to take his money down. He would devise a lot of schemes to get it too, by the way. And it wasn't only just a few years ago that he had to go down to Provident Federal and rewrite his signature because they looked at that passbook, and you could hardly read it. Here it was printed in kind of childish letters. Ted Buck, he had it down there, all right. He put that on there when he was about 3 years old. But I remember the other kids in the family who also had found ways and means to scrounge money where they couldn't. Making hamburgers, babysitting, or one thing or another, but they were always broke. And I still remember those days when Ted had that little book and he'd write down, Sharon owes me $10. You think 10% interest is pretty high. You should have seen the interest he charged back in those days. I'm not so sure. It seemed like he said one time he had to write off quite a few of those debts because they just couldn't come around with them. But we could look at a lot of your lives. There's different tendencies. There's organizational capabilities. Have you ever seen a little child that in putting their shoes away in the closet, even when they're little, they can't stand to have the right one where on the left side? They have to have them both stuck together, and then they look across them at the end so to make sure the heel isn't sticking out too far. Everything has to be in right order. Have you ever noticed that? It's this way. It is with some jobs. The Lord, see, built that into them when in the blueprints, because somewhere along the line, he wanted to use them in some organizational capacity. He knew what he wanted out of Al. He knew that he would be drawing up some of the land around Boise here into plats and subdividing. Don't get angry with subdividers. God planned, wrote that into their lives. They can't help it. That's a kind of a bad name sometimes. But God was the one, because he knows what he's planning. I have this much confidence in him. Don't you believe the Lord knows what's happening right here in Boise area? Well, sure he knows. He's got it. In fact, this is a very special spot to him. He's using it for a touchdown spot right now to bring some messages that are going all over the world. Hallelujah. God knows this place. And he knows it real well. Or he knows the whole world. I mentioned in the early service, saw Ed Schmidt back there. And I read the 16th verse just especially for him. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth on the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth the instruments for his work. You see, God doesn't want everybody to be a school teacher. He never did plan for, boy, I think Ed could teach school, all right, but I think that he just loves to watch what happens when that iron gets to moving under his hand. It's something that was built into him as a child. And all of these things, God has made us what we are. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be the best what we are that there is in the whole world. People that don't even know the Lord, it's God that built that into them. God did it. And those gifts that you read about in Romans, the 12th chapter, they are not special gifts of the Holy Spirit just for believers. Those are capabilities that God has implanted in everyone's life. There's the capability of administration. There's the capability of teaching. There's the ability to give, to be in a position to give. All of these various things. There are these capabilities. There are the capabilities of the arts, music, drama. Why, there are some people that couldn't act if they had to. But you take Michelle Calvert. She made me, wasn't that Michelle? That made me cry Easter Sunday. I cried four different times when she gave that. And I knew what was coming, but she did it so real. She didn't look like Michelle. She looked just like I'd think Mary was going to look there and talking. Someone who had lost their relative or their loved one. But these things that God has drawn into us. You know, when Sharon was about 3 or 4, she never stopped. I might have started younger than that. But she used to line her dolls up on the stairs and get Charms dolls, too, and her neighbor girls get their dolls. And then she'd get all the little kids around to sit them on the stairs. And then right out in front of them, she would put on the most terrific Easter pageants and Christmas pageants you ever saw in your life. Boy, she had put them together, and she even had her mom and dad and some of the other moms and dads coming in to watch. Sharon, do you remember that? Where's she at? Hey, do you remember doing that? I thought they were too young to remember that. But that was quite an interesting thing, you see. But God wrote those, and he twisted the wires together, you know, just to make them come out right. She would have an awful time with some things that you're able to do. But the Lord has given her that ability to dream of dynamic ways of communicating a truth
through music, through the expression of song and the presentation. This is a powerful thing. But every one of us have. So, and it's easy for us, if everybody isn't just like us, it's easy to say, well, that stupid nut, they're not, they're just stupid in a different way is all, than you. But the Lord has definitely planted within us and drawn within us a blueprint. And He wants to make us something. He wants to be the very best possible for Himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, people that don't know the Lord, that the Lord may have given that ministry, that gift, like the Apostle Paul, he was picked long before He'd given His heart to the Lord. All of the people, there's something, because God loves people. And there's a certain amount of success that comes because God implanted it there. But because of greed, because of self, because of sin, oftentimes the pipeline that God expects, that fountain where the spring of life is to come through, gets warped and twisted. There are times when it becomes all plugged up and very little comes through. But it's there. With some, there may be some coming through and there's a certain amount of success that they do have. There may be some businessmen here today or other people that may not have known the Lord. In order to make yourself the very best at what you're doing, you'll go to seminars of one type or another. You will prepare yourself in order that you might be the best. But I have a secret for you. It's a key that God has a way of making those qualities, those capabilities within you reach their highest and their best purpose ever. And that is, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Let Him have a chance. When he has all of you and He is your Lord, He not only has you, He has the potential of your life. Praise God. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. He has your potential. You know that God doesn't expect everybody to make a lot of money. Did you know that? Why, there have been some real famous artists down through the years that almost starved to death. But today, the ministry, the things that the message that they put on canvas, beautiful, as they sat there and dreamed of how they could best present the image that was in their mind of someone or something. They spent time thinking and so carefully worked. Some of them took hours and hours and hours as they wanted to put what was in their mind down on the canvas. God put that in their heart. They could care less. Well, they wanted to maybe stay alive and keep body and soul together, but some of them suffered some privation. To them, they wouldn't have cared whether their shoes were sitting straight or not. They were lucky if they had any. But today, there's a message still comes forth. And those pieces of art that were written by, I can't even think of any, Picasso, was he one? And some of these other great people, those pictures today are bringing inspiration to millions of people. They did something. Of course, their lifetime was short, but their work really lasted. God prepared them for something special. When He prepared the Apostle Paul, He prepared him to put God's message down in a way that it would last for eternity. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, I've been beaten. I've been in shipwrecks. I've been stoned to death. He said, I've had everything go wrong. But the words that God inspired are inspiring us today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, this life isn't the only thing we're living for. There's a whole lot that goes on beyond after things stop here, and God has a beautiful place prepared for those that love Him. I think of you that are working with children. God has prepared you with a special desire to help them to learn. I think of the teacher of our first grade Maranatha School and the other teachers, but I think of this one especially because she was in talking to me the other day, and she said, you know, I pray, and I ask God, how can I make this just real simple and interesting so these little children will learn it and never forget it? She said, I pray, and tears come down my face, and I just ask God, help me, God, so that I can help these little ones. And there could have been somebody else saying, hey, you could do a whole lot more than that. You could be a model if you wanted to. But she's not interested in that. She's interested in these little kids. Hallelujah. I really appreciated that. Is Pam here this morning? Pam, are you anywhere in the building? Somebody tell her about that, won't you? And I really, really appreciate what Pam Link was, the lady I was thinking of. I think of a Sister Mann. The Lord prepared her, and she had such a desire somehow or other to train to be a librarian. She had to put in a lot of hard years down by Los Angeles, but now God has taken that capability and that skill in our little kids and the little tiny ones on up. They come, I see them marching down the hall. They want to go in there and have Sister Mann read to them in our church library. And something that some of the rest of you might not enjoy, but it's added a real ministry and purpose there. God prepared, God trained, you see. And there's beautiful goals that God has within our lives. The thing that God wants us to do today is to commit ourselves. God, make me the best possible, whatever you've planned for my life. Those desires, those drives within. Do you know that those desires, those things that you would secretly love to accomplish, they've been placed in your heart by God Himself. And He said that if we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, that if we trust in Him with all of our heart, if He's Lord of all that we have, He said He will make those desires become a reality. Hallelujah. You believe it? He'll do it. And this gives every one of us an equal chance because God doesn't expect us all to do the same thing. I realize that in our day, there's been so much emphasis on money, on earning. And we know that it takes an awful lot to live these days. But there's been so much emphasis that you're really not doing anything for God unless somehow you've been able to tap an oil well or a gold mine and be able to bring in huge chunks of money for the work of the Lord, that the work might go forth. Do you know that the work of the Lord is whatever work you are doing, because God prepared you this way, and He wants that work to be the work of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you may never be able to handle a business situation. That may be the farthest thing from your mind. It'd be like asking a scarecrow to dance or to run a 100-yard dash. Why, it'd be just as, not that you're a scarecrow. I could have picked something else there for that particular phrase. But I mean, it's just as foreign. The scarecrow does a whole lot better job of scaring the blackbirds off of the out of the corn than somebody over on the track running a race. See, everybody has its own purpose. So maybe I did come out of that all right. We have a purpose, though, you see, folks.
We have a purpose. We have a purpose.
Those of you that God has skilled in giving business talents,
God wants you.
I think we ought to read that over in Matthew chapter 25. Beginning with verse 14, I'm going to hurry this up real fast because we've got a beautiful communion time coming up. Beginning with verse 14, Matthew 25 and verse 14, listen to it. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now talents, there is a money measure. It's a chunk of money. And to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Jesus was saying this, and he knows how he made people. Straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. Took them out and said, hey, I'm going to put them to work. Boy, I'd get in trouble with some areas talking about this. Jesus is coming. Why go out and trade? He said, when the Lord comes, make sure he finds you so doing. Whatever thing that he's put in your heart. This question has come up several times. Some of the kids in high school asked me, what shall we do? Shall we quit school or shall we quit what we're planning on doing because if Jesus is coming this soon? Since we know he is coming, he said, stay with what you're doing. Occupy till I come. When the Lord comes, may he find you being the best, allowing him to help you to reach the highest potential of the thing that he's put in your life and the capabilities, qualities that you have. Then he went and traded and made them another 5 talents. Pretty good job, wasn't it? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 said, I know that the Lord is coming, and it's something that he has given me, and I must protect it for him. I can't afford to put it on the market. I just have to make sure that when Jesus comes, that I cannot risk the loss here. I'll save it. And so he digged in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came, and it was an exciting day for him, and this day's just about here. And he brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, here it is. Every bit of it, Lord. Here is that is thine. But his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine with usury, with interest, he's saying. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. The Lord wants us to know today that he has, this, we're speaking of a money measure here, but this fits every area of our life. What we have, the word tells us
that there is not one thing, not one good thing that we've received that hasn't come from the Lord. The question was asked, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You had to get it from somewhere. It came from the Lord. Hallelujah. Where he is, I could just see from this congregation this morning, people that the Lord has given some capabilities. I could see a lot of you people that the Lord has put a real love and an ability to communicate with children. When they're around you, they just love you. And the Lord is saying, here, let me be Lord also of this quality that you have. Let me start something in your home, in your neighborhood, where you can bring those kids in and tell them about Jesus. Come and see Sue Carpenter. Find a job here and ministering to these children in the Sunday school. Some of you have such an ability in the area of communicating to people you may not even know. Mike Chelderborn is just crying for some people to help him to man the busing program. And I told him, I said, Mike, I feel this in my heart. I believe there are people there that God has put the capabilities that today can be converted into the most successful type of communication for the people that we're reaching for God in this way that's possible. And from this congregation, I believe there are people that are going to say, hey, God, I'm not going to just turn over this capability just the way you gave it to me. I'm going to put it to work. Hallelujah. Make it do something for God. I would like to see, I'd like to see 15 or 20 people ready to go out and call on some of these folk. Mike and Judy have been working hard. They feel like the load is almost too big for them. I'm going to ask it. Some of the rest of you, get in there beside them and spend an hour or so on Saturdays getting out there and praying with some of those people that they're ministering to and helping them, helping some of those little children, maybe providing some clothes or some help, whatever is needed in that home. This is a ministry that God has given to you. There may be some of you that are up in years. You say, well, I've already done my thing for God. And you may not have done everything you can do for God. What about the money in your will there? Have you left it for the state to handle or letting somebody else spend your money for you, the whole thing? You need to get those wills out and rewrite them that those funds, at least a part of your estate, would be directed into the greatest ministry of the world at reaching people for God. Who knows? Jesus is coming soon, but there, some of you may still have to go by route of death. I think it'd be a real good thing for you to take out those wills and call one of our good attorneys here and have him do a little changing on it for you. Get Central Assembly and the missionary worldwide outreach of this church that God is blessing, and it's going to explode far more than you've ever seen it before. This is it. God did say he was going to give this church a worldwide ministry, and he's done that. I believe that those of you that, as I said, there may be some areas you cannot minister, but you can do this. You can be a ministry to other people in your community, those friends of yours. Some folk that have retired come out on Friday mornings, and they're such a blessing to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, and to their neighbors and friends. We never reach a spot where what God has put within us runs to a point where it's not usable anymore. He'll use us right to the end, and when we get on the other side, he's going to make it explode, and we're still going to be ministering over there. Ministering also unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I forgot to tell you what I promised I was going to tell you. It's a good thing that somebody reminded me. I heard the gears of your mind saying, you forgot to tell us about mammon. Jerry Law called this week, and he was so excited about some other things that the Lord had told me through the lips of this, the voice of this angel, that we forgot to take care of this part. But he told me to ask if God would permit me to ask the question, whether there truly was, if Mammon was truly an evil spirit. And because he said it was real important for him to know. And he wanted me to send him the information, so we'll be sending it to his office. But he called and asked me about some other things, which I shared with him. But normally, I cannot ask questions. They're too trivial, because God is working and bringing truths from his heart. But he said he would permit me to answer some questions, which I did. And the answer was that no, there is not a demon by the name of Mammon or any other name that controls the finances of the world. He said the finances are controlled by people, and then by who those people belong to. When you belong to Jesus, what you have belongs to him. If you're living for the devil, Satan controls what you have. So we control, we determine who is going to be the controller. But he did pose a question to me that almost embarrassed me. He said, "Kevin, Satan controlled the finances. He certainly isn't taking very good care of his home." Because he said there are more people who are not living for God that are hurting financially than those who are God's children. I hadn't thought of that. Funny thing. You know, sometimes we kind of miss a real important point. But if he was controlling all the finances, what in the world is he doing with them? There's the people that we're helping right from our church here, many, many of them, 80-90% of them, people that don't even know the Lord. So we're even helping those, because God has an interest even in those who have not found him yet. So we're going to help them, praise God. But I just wanted you to know this, that money is not the key with God. He has given some this business ability. He has given you a charge, and he says, "Do it for me." Some of you would be clear out of your field in that type of thing. But all of us have drives within that have been planted there by God. And let us allow those drives, these life forces, to produce for God. Hallelujah. In the area. This puts the responsibility right back, not on 5 or 10 people, but every last one of us have a spot, have a plan that God has put together. Praise God. How do you feel about that? Would you lift both hands and worship the Lord for just a moment? I want you just to lift your hearts. Thank him that he cares this much for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege of ministry, of serving you. Praise God. And Lord, may this communion time now be a time that is precious when our lives are drawn closer together, when Jesus is made more real. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.